This is Aaron and Ash. You're listening to Path into Product, a show for students and professionals considering product management as a career. We interview actual product professionals and share their insights and tips for getting into the rewarding career that is product management.
If you can just give us a little bit of an intro from yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll jump into some other questions.
Sure. So I'm Nate Barrett, and currently Senior Director and Head of Interactive Experiences at Pluralsight. I have been in the product management space, as I was reminded today, for about 23 years. And I'm married, have four children. My oldest is 19. She's going into her sophomore year, University of Utah. And then I have three girls, a boy on the end who's 10. I just got back from his rain delayed soccer game, and love being in the outdoors. Love technology. I love architecture. I love travel. So that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. Thanks, Nate. So this podcast's about paths into product. And we'd love to just learn a little bit about yours. Like, how did you get into product 23 years ago? How did you know it was a thing 23 years ago? And what was your way in?
Ironically, I didn't know it was a thing 23 years ago. Unlike many people today, and it almost comes from a place of privilege in today's day and age, that I was fortunate to fall into it without trying to get into it, which is almost the exact opposite today. I was working in what they called technical resolution. It was like a next level tier of technical support at a company called Big Planet, which was part of New Skin. At those times we called it an ISP, an internet service provider, which was a really big deal and dial up. And anyway, I was just doing technical related things like merging accounts and different things like that. And just so happened that I'd been there roughly, I want to say about 2 years. And I was asked to participate in helping them build what they called an online affiliate mall. And I thought it sounded interesting because I was getting into technology and just was excited about the prospect of this concept called an internet mall, and didn't know that the role was product manager. And it was almost just kind of like, I don't even believe I interviewed for the role. They put me into the position, and I just progressively found out this is what I'm supposed to do. And so there wasn't a lot of material at the time, frankly, about product management. It wasn't a big thing at the time. I think in a lot of cases would almost call it more project management today. Long story short, that's where I started. And a lot of it was identifying opportunities in talking to customers, that basically trying to understand what type of stores they were interested in, and going into an affiliate website that was called Linkshare. And I believe the other one is Commission Junction. And there were several stores that we could basically aggregate into an online mall for Big Planet. And so the beginnings was really starting to understand what did people want and identifying that and trying to either get those stores into these affiliate stores, and then that evolved frankly over the next 6 years while I was there, that I was asked to do things like work on what we call dynamic web pages, which was web page hosting. We worked on something called the iPhone, which came before the Apple iPhone, which is really kind of fun to talk about. It was actually a product made by Cisco, and it was an internet phone that was basically you could pull out a little keypad, and it was a monochromatic screen, and you could access your email, and you could surf the internet. Now this is about 2001, and all of it, you know, was in black and white on a 56K modem. And so that was the real beginnings of what I was doing. Was it was very different then. It was really just trying to identify what customers wanted. And then in a lot of cases, if you think about in product management, buy, build, partner, we are pretty much either buying or partnering to create product experiences. There really wasn't real software development until maybe about 4 years into that. And that was when we actually started to build software there, and where I had started beginning to work with software engineers. And it was the very old school ways of doing things, where we were writing product requirements documents that were, I mean, it was hundreds and hundreds of pages that we were documenting exactly what the needs of the user were, and then handing that off to a software engineer to build. And it would take 6 to 12 months to deliver something new to the customer.
Wow. Yeah, that's such a contrast to what many software companies are doing today. So, and you mentioned one thing, which was you started talking with customers, and that you kind of felt like your role probably could have been classified under project management more than product. But to me, talking with customers is one of the things that differentiates product from project. So how did you learn in that early days of being a product manager, how did you learn that talking with customers was important, was a valuable activity to do?
You know, honestly, like I said, it wasn't anything that I was reading or being told to do. It just made sense. It was more of understanding that, well, if I wanted something, or if someone were building something, I would hope that they would ask me what I would want. And frankly, that's always been something that's maybe just kind of been innate in me, and almost that I think is maybe a quality that you look for in a product manager, is someone's, you know, you're always thinking, this could be better. What could be better? Or why did we do it this way? It's interesting. I have a friend that just bought an Airstream trailer, and I was over at his house today checking it out. And he was saying, he's not a product manager, but he knows my background. He said, it'd be really interesting to know the product managers at Airstream, because it's obvious that they've thought through this hard good because of the way that different things work. And I thought that was really interesting that, you know, that's what we do as product managers, is we think, what's a better way of doing this? But so I was thinking that way, but I was also thinking, well, at the end of the day, I'm not the one that's going to be selling things on this affiliate mall. It's other people. So I don't know necessarily what they want. So I better go talk to them and really understand what they want.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. It's good to kind of get outside of your own mind and try to think, you know, I'm not my own user. I need to go find out what's going on in their minds, what's going on in their worlds. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Now, so, I will say, like, it evolved, because when I moved from Big Planet to what I would almost call my real initiation into true product management, where I felt like I was being mentored and learning. And I was mentored, in my opinion, my mentor, his name's Jesse Gant, one of the great managers that I've had in my career as well. And Jesse started to teach. Now, we were still in the product requirements stages, and it was at that period, I think it was a year into that, we started to have agile training, and we got officially trained into agile. But also at that time at Ancestry, we were trained, and I can't remember the technical term, but we called it van trips. And the idea was that we would know that we were looking to enhance a product or bring about a new product, and would get a designer, and we get a product manager and a couple of engineers from the team. And even though we didn't sit together at the time like you do today, we saw this concept. And the reason why we called it a van trip is we knew kind of customer hubs at Ancestry. And I just remember, for example, we would travel to Seattle, And then we'd get in a big van all together as a team, and we would go visit customers where they were. So we wanted to meet them where they use the product. In some cases that was at home, some cases that was in a church, in some places it was in an office, because we, you know, at the time, what I learned later is we call that contextual inquiry. And we wanted to sit in context with the user and observe things. And what we found is just a quick example is you find really interesting insights when you see them in the place where they use that product. What we found very, very quickly was people had stacks everywhere we went. People had stacks of manila envelopes full of information with the names of the ancestor on that envelope. And that's where they were storing the records and the photos and the different things. And that was ultimately where we came up with this concept of a person page that, you know, in a real artifact, they were putting all this information in a manila folder in like, I guess a tangible thing. So how do you put that into the internet? And so we said, let's form the digital version of this. And so that was really fun to kind of make that kind of exploration in that process.
That's so cool.
So cool. So you already had like this cross-functional idea, right? So it's not just you, but you needed other experts in other fields, and you got together, went to go visit the customer where they were at, and you saw real life, and then asked yourself the question, how do we make a digital version of what's going on in real life to help these people better do their family history, take care of their ancestors, et cetera, whatever it is that the product's doing. That's a really cool concept.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, nowadays what we'd say is like, how do you take what they're doing and make it better? How do you understand we call it the user journey. So how do they solve the problem today? And you observe that. And then you think about, well, how can we make that better? How can we improve upon that? And again, because product management has grown so much over time, we recognize that as just like the obvious, but that's exactly what we were doing, is saying, well, this is how they do it today. Now, how do we do it in a better fashion?
So you mentioned something as you made this transition, you talked about a mentor. You talked about Jesse. I think I got that right. As our listeners are listening to this, I'm sure some of them are wondering, well, how do I get that kind of mentorship? Like, how do I find that? What do I look for? In terms of Jesse and what he did for you, what was that? And what do you think some of our listeners can kind of be aware of as they're looking for mentorship, trying to get into product?
Yeah, that's a great question. In the case of Jesse, frankly, I'd just say I was very fortunate. I was fortunate to have a leader and a manager that cared about me as an individual first and as an employee second. So I was just fortunate in that case. But more directly to your question, Ash, and I appreciate the question, because I'll give you as an example. I remember maybe four, 5 years ago, you reaching out to me, and I didn't know who you were, but you reached out to me, I think via LinkedIn, and you introduced yourself and you said, "Hey, Nate, can I take you to lunch? And I'd just love to like learn more about what you're doing and ask you some questions." And we did that. We met at Zupa's in Lehigh. I mean, I remember this.
Yep.
And so that's what I would recommend, is you have to proactively identify people. So ask around, ask maybe who these people are in the community that maybe are respected in one area or another, and take a chance, connect with them on LinkedIn, network, try and find these connections. And Ash, you're not the only one that's done this with me, and I'm sure you've probably done this with other people as well, but it I in no way was like, who is this guy? Why is he wasting my time? I've often said product is a really special place that you can't go to school to learn this. You can do boot camps and you can do some things, and things are changing slowly. Within the strategy program at BYU now, there's a product track. And so I'm really excited about some of these things, but you have to put yourself out there. And I like to eat. So it was really nice that you offered to buy me lunch. And so I just say, put yourself out there. Don't be afraid to ask and to make connections. Because this is the other thing is that's part of being a product manager as well. Great product managers are inquisitive. They're not afraid to ask questions. They're not afraid to dig in and learn something. And in a way, like maybe without you knowing it, you were showing product management skills by the mere fact that you were making connections, you're putting yourself out there, and just showing that you were proactive in nature. So that would be my biggest thing is, start talking, join some meetups, listen podcasts like this, because you're going to start to identify people within the community that you might want to meet, and then connect with them on LinkedIn, ask to take them to lunch or breakfast or have a Zoom call, ask for some time. And what you'll find is people are more than happy. I call it product management, pay it forward. And maybe another term is product management karma. I can use all the karma I can get. And so I'm more than happy to help people. And sometimes I have to tell people no, because I've got too much going on. But I would say 90% of the time, I'm more than happy to talk with people. And I'm not the only one. I'm one of hundreds of people in the community that are willing to do that.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing that I've experienced as well, especially in the product community in Utah, and it's expanding, but there always seems to be this willingness to help out the next generation of product professionals. Absolutely. At some point in your journey, you got an MBA. So help us understand a little bit, how did that MBA experience, how does that relate to your career in product? Was it helpful? Or was it not helpful? Maybe it was kind of helpful. Help us just understand how that MBA related to your career in product.
Yeah, that's a great question. And funny enough, it goes back to my mentor, Jesse Gant. We would have regular one-on-ones. And I remember we were talking about my career development, which again was awesome to have a manager that cared about helping me grow in my career. And I remember him specifically saying to me, "Hey, Nate, have you ever considered getting an MBA? And frankly, I was like, "No, I'm not a big fan of formal education." And I said, "But why do you ask?" And he said, "Well, now keep in mind, this was about 15 plus years ago. But he said, I think it would be really helpful for you in your career if you were to take the time to go do that." And so my question to him was, well, I've been doing product now for 5, 6, 7 years. Do you think I need to go to a big name program? What in your mind is the reason for me to go? Because you go to some of these programs, like some of it is the value of networking. Some of it is really great education. And so there's a lot of reasons why you do this. And his response, or the mentorship that I received from him, is he said, "I don't know that you need to go to a big name school, because those really are about networking and getting strong networks." Mm-hmm. He said, "You've been doing this now for several years, so you have a great network." But he said, "I look at it and say, when it comes down to making a decision between you and some other person in your next job, it may come down to them looking and saying, he has this education and this person doesn't." And at the time, I thought that made some sense. I'll give you my candid opinion. I personally don't know that I would tell people that today. I genuinely believe that, especially in product management. Now, I'm going to almost pause. Let me think about this for a minute, because I think it depends on where you want to go in your job. If you want to work at Google, or if you want to work at Facebook or Amazon, I think an MBA is probably something that is going to help you a lot. Or even having like a master's degree in computer science, some graduate level course. But if you're wanting to get in and get product management skills at a, what I'd call a non Facebook, Amazon, Google job, I don't know that it's necessary. I do think that networking more than anything and being able to show you know how to do the job is crucial. And I don't know if we'll get into this, but maybe the next question is, well, if I never have the experience, how do I get the experience? And that's maybe a whole nother thing. I'll let you guys decide if you want to talk about that or not.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cause you just said, right, show that you know how to do the job, right? Which is, it's really easy to say once you, once you've been in product for a while.
Yeah.
But I remember being on the outside looking in, I'm like, well, I don't even know what the job is. Therefore, how do I show that I know how to do it, that I have the skills, that I have the traits? How would an entry level candidate demonstrate that if they've never had a product position before? How would they go about acquiring that skill set and traits?
Yeah. That is like the golden question these days, because there's so many people that want to get into product management. And just like you say, Aaron, but it's typically like it's hard to take a chance. Like for me, I have a hard time in my current role to hire someone that hasn't had experience. I've been able to do it again. I think stage a company, meaning, you know, is it a startup? Is it a mature company? Are they on growth stage? You know, are they profitable? There's so many variables that go into that decision. But the advice that I typically give people is this. First of all, you have to show that you're super passionate about getting into this role or this space. And I go back to Ash's question. To me, it starts with putting yourself out there and just start connecting with people. Because I have hired people, or I know others that have hired people out of just sheer determination and will to not give up. And it may take 10 no's to finally get to a yes for an internship. It may take not getting a paid internship and taking a small risk and saying, even though I'm married and have two children, I'm going to take a risk and do a 3-month unpaid internship to get the experience. The other thing I recommend, so I mean, internships are fantastic. Offering to work for free at a startup via those networking connections. I can tell you, I have two friends that have started a startup here in Utah County, Campfire. There was they took on a summer intern that was, again, he was so persistent. And I was like, I can't hire you where I'm at, but I know someone that they can't afford to pay you this summer, but if you're willing to work for free. And he did it. And now he's gone off, and I think he's got a paid internship this summer. He's going to graduate from BYU this next year, and he's probably going to have a great product job when he's done. So the other thing I recommend is there are boot camps out there. That's just another opportunity, I think, to learn the basics so you can speak the language to have like the terminology. Because if you can't speak the language, and then we'll go back to this, if you walk into a job with, like if you were interviewing with me and you say, I'm a project manager by accident, I'm sorry, I'm not going to hire you, because if you don't know the difference between project management and product management, like we have a problem.
yeah.
And so I think learning the terminology is very important. And so maybe doing a boot camp or getting involved in the Product Hive community or Front or some of these things where you can start to hear that. The mentorship that we've talked about is great. And then the last thing that I've seen people do that I've recommended, and this is really like gritty, is go build a product. Like be an entrepreneur And whether you actually do something with that product, learn the product development process of, you know, what would say like voice of the customer interviews and building a prototype and testing it. And maybe you don't get to launching that product, but if you can go through that process of understanding what it takes to understand a customer problem and developing that and validating that and building a prototype and validating that, you can go into a job interview and speak to that. Because oftentimes, for example, when I do job interviews, I don't like the idea of just a bunch of questions. I like what I'd call just like, I call it homework, where I ask them to come in and basically go through a problem space and talk through the process that they would go through, because it's easy to look up what it is to be a product manager via Google and answer the question. It's harder to kind of like put it into practice. So however you can find ways to put that into practice through the wet methods I just mentioned is going to be the best way. And finding a mentor along the way back to that point is probably what I'd say is the key, is that mentor to kind of talk you through that process.
Yeah, I just want to insert something here. When I spoke with you, Nate, 4 or 5 years ago, however long it was, that's the one thing that I realized is I couldn't speak like a product manager. And I realized that, I think, coming out of your interview, well, not interview, but like that conversation, it was, man, I need to figure out how to speak like that. And I think I felt like I had the brains and the drive and the ability to do those activities and those things that make a good product manager, but I just couldn't speak to that. And so I worked really hard on trying to, I called it the product lingo. You know, I worked really hard on trying to figure out what were they saying and how were they saying it. And so it's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. I also love that advice of go try and build something and go through that process, right? Of discovering a problem and doing research around that and finding qualitative and quantitative data points and synthesizing all of that and then brainstorming solutions with experts in different fields. And you may not actually get to where you're actually building a product or a solution, but just going through the process helps so much. I remember last summer, I went through this with myself where I just built a pretty complicated spreadsheet to answer a simple question, right, for me, but just building this whole spreadsheet with formulas in and out. I mean, it was so helpful for me, even though I had been in product for some time, just try to go build something and go through that process of thinking through that. That's great advice.
Yeah.
And I'll add to that, Aaron, and maybe I'm giving away a little bit of my trickery in the interviews that we go through. But if a product manager or a candidate to become a product manager, if I give them the homework, and I'll give you an example, when we were at Canopy, we'd say, we need a better way. You know, the problem is people have all this tax information and it comes tax time. And traditionally what happens is they have to put all this information into a manila folder, back to the manila folder, right? And then they hand this off to their accountant. And so there's problems here that could get lost. Like the example I give is, my accountant used to ask me to put all of my tax information into a manila folder and slide it under her doormat at her house. And I thought, this is nuts. I have this financial information, my social security number, all these different things. And I'm being asked to slide it under doormat and she'll pick it up sometime later that day. And so I was kind of building this problem space and saying, can you come in and identify a better way to solve this problem? And the point I'm getting to is the difference in the ones that I become interested in and the ones I quickly kind of say they're not going to pass, the ones that come in and immediately say, so I heard your problem and this is what I would do. And they go immediately to the solution. And they think they're really smart because they've come up with a really cool idea, but that's the problem. But the ones that I get really interested in, to your point, Aaron, is they, again, at Canopy, the really sharp ones that I'm like, let's talk more to this person. Say, so I went and my uncle is an accountant, and I went and I interviewed him. And then I asked if I could interview a couple of his accountant friends. And then I interviewed a couple of people that use an accountant to do their taxes. And this is what I was able to find out. And so, like, again, like, this is the qualitative data. And even though it's just a few people, here's the quantitative data, but they were showing me that they know what it takes to go and talk to people and understand the problem space and validate like what the real issue is, and then go into like, and then I had, you know, came up with some ideas and I passed it back to them. So to your point, like, they're showing me they know what it takes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you know, these are all traits of things that you're looking for, perhaps in somebody who doesn't have product experience when you're considering them in a hiring process. But I'm curious on the flip side, and you've alluded to a little bit of this before, but what are some common misconceptions or some common mistakes that candidates will come in, who candidates who don't have product experience, and that are red flags for you? And how might some of our listeners avoid some of those misconceptions or mistakes?
Yeah. I would say, first mistake is always jumping into the solution first and trying to solve a solution, because I think there's this thinking that product management is all about coming up with really, really good ideas. And you know, they jump to the innovator's dilemma, like, I'm going to innovate and, you know, here's a way better idea of doing this. And so that's not product management. Real true product management takes place way before that. What is the term, like, walking a mile in the customer's shoes and feeling deep empathy for their problem and understanding, like, why would this be an issue, and, you know, what is ultimately going to create value for them? Because you may have a great idea, but how do you know that actually solves the problem, for one, and two, creates value for them enough that they're going to pay for it? Because that's two huge problems, and those aren't necessarily mutually, you know, or they're not the same thing. They're, one is you're solving a business problem. One is willing to pay. The other is you're actually solving the problem for them. And this is going a little bit deep, but especially when you get into SaaS businesses, you're talking about two different customers, where one customer is the buyer, and you need to make sure that you're meeting the needs of the buyer and that there's value there and there's return on investment for their dollar. And the other is the actual user of the product, and that you're actually solving the user's problems. And so that probably is biggest thing number one, is really showing that you understand the process up to build, because I think oftentimes people make the mistake that product management is building product. But if you really look at the product development process, true product management, 90% of that is building up to the actual software engineering. And you know, to plug directed discovery at Pluralsight, but if you look at that, we do VOC, we do CPT, or voice of the customer preference testing. And that could take weeks to complete that if you're moving quickly. But we don't talk about build. Build is like this tiny slice, if I were to whiteboard this, and then customer confirmation testing. And that's the other side of it, Aaron, is showing that just because you release a product for people to use, that you're like, we're done. You're only maybe halfway there, if that far. Because how do you know that you've truly solved those problems? And so, again, it comes back to data. You have to have created metrics to begin with and created hypotheses and, you know, success metrics as to how do we know if this is a success or not. We're increasing this, we're decreasing that, we're improving this or that. And then you put it out there for people to use. And now you have to be honest with yourself And that's part of the hard part, is we fall in love with our product and our ideas. Mm-hmm. And we maybe assume that this is what people are going to love because it's my idea. And sometimes people product, I got taught again by another mentor that said, Nate, as soon as you start calling it my product, failed. When you say my product, you've got too close to it. It's the product, but neither here nor there. Now you've got to put it out there and see that it's actually working and be honest enough to say, what we did sucked. It failed miserably. And we've got to go back to the drawing board. Or what we did was okay, and we need to make these tweaks. But I can guarantee, if you believe that the first attempt at putting it out there works, you're not going to be a good product manager. I think product managers have to be so thick-skinned and in a way just completely unsatisfied with mediocrity that you have to basically say it's never great. It's never great. So those are kind of like, so if I were to kind of rehearse that, don't fall in love with the solution, fall in love with the problem, and then don't believe that the first pass is it, you've solved the problem. Continue to like be invested in the problem and making sure that you're going to ultimately meet that problem. And that's where we get to this term product market fit. So do some research on what product market fit is.
Awesome. Maybe just to finish us off here, Nate, what we've talked about is pretty hard to do. It's tough work, you know? So why choose product management as a career? Like what do you think from your perspective?
Yeah. I think the people that choose product management and stay in product management and love product management are people that are just naturally inquisitive, that they are always asking the question, why? And we talk a lot about that. Product management is like digging deeper. Well, you know, you can get really annoying, like, you know, why? And they give you an answer. Well, how come? And because you're really getting down to root problems. But, you know, I often give this example. I go to a restaurant and you have your tray and you go to dump the tray. And I'm always so upset with whoever made up the idea of these holes that are tiny and the tray is this big and they expect mm-hmm. me to try and somehow fit it. And I understand, like someone is saying the problem is you don't want to have them dump the whole tray in there into the garbage. But the other problem is you also don't want them to dump the garbage everywhere. And that's a really simple thing, but someone's got to come up with a better way. Like maybe over time we can get to where that hole expands and contracts or something like that. So I think someone that you're just, you fall in love with the problem and just constantly saying there's got to be a better way to do this. And, you know, again, this is my opinion. There's a lot of different types of product managers. And what I mean by that is you have very like technically skilled people. There's a place for that. There's other people that are great at marketing, and there's a place for that. But at the end of the day, I also feel like really great, successful product managers have incredible soft skills. And what I mean by that, hard skills are things that you can measure. You know, I can measure if you know how to write a line of code. I can validate or test that code. If you're a designer, I can even measure, you know, if that design meets particular needs. But in product management, there is a measurement, I guess, at the end of the day of whether the product works or not and meets the criteria. Mm-hmm. But that's the product. It's not necessarily the product manager. And there's a lot of people involved in meeting the product. It's not just the product manager. It's a team effort. But I think great product managers and people that succeed in product management have great soft skills, meaning they're incredible communicators. They can communicate up, meaning up through the executive team. They can communicate down, They can communicate sideways. And what I mean by that is they're great listeners, but they're great communicators out, meaning this is what we're working on. This is why we're working on it. This is the vision. This is the strategy, it, that no one ever feels surprised. So communication of all sorts is so key. I also believe in this thing called emotional intelligence, where you can't get too high and you can't get too low. And I won't name names here, but I think one of the most impressive people that I've ever mentored and hired and managed in my career struggled with this, these highs and lows. And I remember having a conversation with him, and I said, you've got to get to where your emotions are like this. It's okay to be up and down, but it can't be this and that. You've got to get
the because, middle level.
Yeah, you got to be even keeled. And so I think that emotional intelligence that, you know, when someone calls your baby ugly, you've got to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And take that on as a challenge. And in some ways, I think it's a competitive spirit that you want to win. And not you as an individual, but you want your thing to win. It's coming back to you want to solve this problem. And so those are a couple of things that come to mind. Those are very broad, mm-hmm. but I would definitely say, these soft skills are really good. And then the last thing I'll add is your self-starter. You are driven. I know we often quote that you're entrepreneurial minded, but I think great product managers are good at doing what someone else isn't telling them what to do. That they're constantly thinking through what is the next step and kind of seeing around corners of where is this going to go, and not have a leader or someone on the executive team saying, where are we going? What are we doing? And I don't know because no one's communicating. And so I'm going to tell you, or they don't trust. And so package that all together and you're going to have a really great product manager. But I don't know that comes from any specific education space. I do think it comes at the end of the day, it's passionate people about solving problems and not taking no for an answer. That they're always saying why.
We hope you found this episode to be helpful. If you did, please subscribe, tell your friends, and give us a 5-star rating. Have a question or feedback? Click the link in the show notes.